Sorry about that, headphone users. You probably just got a blast in your ear. My bad. So, welcome back to Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs. I am your host, the one, the only, Trent. The nigga asking, sundress season, where art thou? Ain't gonna be no sundress season, bitch. But anyways, I digress. So I promised myself before I started recording that I was only going to allow 5 minutes of my entire podcast episode or of any episode from now going forward to be about Corona, since that's pretty much our lives, a good chunk of our days each day, whether we want to admit it or not. But I didn't want this podcast episode to become about that shit, so... 5 minutes. 5 minutes of me ranting, and then I will cut myself off and we will get to the meat, the actual episode content. So, starting here, I'm going to go 5 minutes. Here we go. So, yeah, I haven't recorded in almost 2 months. Between school, between changing jobs, I've been doing the same thing for 7 years. And I changed jobs recently. So between that and getting all that settled in, as well as school being moved online and Zoom and just not having that same gusto, that same enthusiasm to participate in class or do assignments or do anything because everything has to be done in the same room that I'm recording this podcast at, my living room, that everything basically has to be done here because everything was closed, at least during most of April. I also didn't have that same enthusiasm to do this podcast because I was thinking up ideas and writing ideas down, but I just didn't give a shit at the moment because I was just like, this is weighing down on me. I'm tired. I'm working my ass off at work in my old job, and I'm just tired. Like, my energy just wasn't there. My enthusiasm wasn't there. So I always promised myself this podcast was something I was going to do for fun. So if I didn't feel like doing it, I just honestly wasn't going to do it. I know I want to do consistent podcast episodes, especially this whole semester, but with that whole Rona thing popping up, that all went out the window. All rules got thrown out the window. Excuse me. So, I can't speak for all states. I haven't kept up that deeply. I only know places like Texas and Georgia, specifically Atlanta, but Georgia and Florida and, you know, certain other states have started to reopen. And yeah, I mean, you know, I'm trying to live that whole to each their own kind of viewpoint, but I know the truth. My true opinion is it's too soon. Like, for us to still have very little information, for the CDC and the government to have as little information as they do about this virus, and motherfuckers are just anxious to go stand in line in the mall and wherever else is currently open just to stand around and not be at home. And I'm like, me personally, the couple of places that I do go have to frequent, which is the grocery store, just the grocery store, I'm seeing way too many people without masks and no gloves and just out here wilding, in my opinion, because I'm like, you have no idea. We haven't necessarily peaked yet, and even if we have peaked, people are still dying from this shit. So why are you so anxious to take your happy ass outside when you know if you get it, there's no vaccine, there is no cure, there's not even a really secure way of treatment. It's just they're going to give you a bunch of different pills, whatever doctor you see, and hope for the best and hope you can ride it out. Like, that's not much of a treatment plan, but apparently people don't care about that. So yeah, that's my opinion on it. I think it's too soon. I'm sticking with what I've been saying as of late, that for the most part, most folks ain't gonna see, with a few rare exceptions, that would be boo, that would be family, and if I happen to come across friends, pretty much everybody else ain't seeing me without a mask till at least 2021. 2021 is when I'll start to even consider thinking about going places without a mask and all that stuff. I got asthma. I can't fuck around with this shit. Like, people who don't have any respiratory shit going on, cool, great, you do what you want, you do what you think is best, but I got asthma. And though it's pretty controlled, if I get the virus, it could take my ass out, potentially, because, yeah, that's just how my body's set up. Not to mention I have allergies, so I'm just like, let's not. Okay? Let's not. Getting to that 5-minute mark, I'm looking at it right now, so that's all I got for you on that bullshit. Like, I just do what you think is best, but you won't see my black ass out there unless it's for work or to buy groceries. That's it. I ain't leaving this house for nothing else. Fuck y'all. Not fuck y'all as in, I appreciate y'all listening to this podcast, but fuck y'all as in, fuck y'all if y'all think I'm going outside to gallivant and be recreational and shit. Furthest I'm going outside this door is on this balcony right here. That's it. Okay. So anyways, enough on that. Welcome back to, you know, Toss Outs and Scrambled Eggs, where we talk about love, sex, and relationships, that kind of shit. I know I said no more Rona shit, but that's going to probably be in the title somewhere. So I'm not going to talk about it anymore. That's just in the title. But I'm calling this something like the Horny Chronicles or the Big Horny or something like that. Because the first part of this episode, we got to talk about that. Because as y'all should well know by now, if you listen to enough episodes or even if this is your first episode, all the social media that I really fuck with at this point is Twitter. And so with that being the case, that's the only one I'm on. So that's the only one I can really talk about. But on Twitter, motherfuckers is big horny on Twitter, like, right now. Like, people just, the amount of just gratuitous filth that I've seen on the timeline as of late, and not just, you know, around 9, 10 o'clock in the evening time where, you know, it's, as the kids say, it's demon time, whatever, you know, it's not just then. It'll be like 1 o'clock in the daytime, and you might catch a pair of titties on the timeline. You never know what you might see. You might see a whole ass sex tape. You never know. Because that's just how the shit is rolling right now. And so, yeah, the first part of this episode or somewhere in the title of this episode is probably going to be something like The Big Horny or The Horny Chronicles. Because, you know, motherfuckers is on quarantine, so ain't really much shit open and ain't nobody really trying to risk Rona for some penis or some pussy. Well, I ain't going to say not everybody because there's a few people out here putting it on the line for some dick, some pussy, even if it's familiar dick or pussy. Or some strange, you know, people like strange. But, you know, I wanted to kind of revisit something. I'm sure I've talked about this on a previous episode. I am almost 1,000% sure I've talked about this in a previous episode. But I think there's no time like the present to reiterate this. So I feel like with all this extra horny material that pops up on my timeline, not just because I follow some pretty filthy ass, open ass, fun ass people, but because people are just big horny these days. I think if we're going to talk about people being big horny, we got to talk about people jumping into DMs because it happens. It definitely happens. I mean, I ain't judging. Ain't nothing wrong with jumping in nobody's DMs. That's your business. That's your prerogative. That's what the, I ain't going to say that's what the button is there for, but yeah, that's what the button is there for. It's a button that says message so-and-so. So if it wasn't intended to be used to message somebody privately, then they wouldn't have included it, but I digress. I feel like there has to be a talk about some etiquette jumping in the DMs because apparently niggas just still doing terrible shit and being terrible human beings and making women say men don't deserve rights and men don't deserve nice things. And when you see the kind of things they tweeting or DMing, you understand why women say that. And as a man, all you can say is, I mean, you ain't wrong. You know what I mean? That's all you can really say. Just be like, you ain't wrong. And that don't necessarily apply to me, but men as a whole, yeah, you right. Niggas don't deserve rights. But I digress. Jumping into DMs. There's some etiquette we need to discuss, gentlemen. So this is mainly towards the gentlemen. Ain't too many dudes that listen to my podcast anyway, so they'll probably never hear it. But, you know, just in case one or two happens to mosey their way in here, accidentally find their way in here, or, you know, doing me a favor as a friend and listen to this episode. Hear me and hear me well. I mean, of course, if you in a relationship or you know, that's just not what you do anyways, this ain't gonna apply to you anyways. But for you single ass motherfuckers that's jumping in DMs, let's talk about a little etiquette. Come close. Gather in. Get you a little water, maybe a little drink, you know. Get you a little brown liquor in you. And take a listen. Not too much, because if you drink a little too much, you're not really gonna be paying attention. So let's talk about jumping into these young women's DMs. Having a regular, normal conversation. Listen, I know I've met enough women over the course of life and had enough conversations with women to know niggas can and will, and when I say niggas, I'm referring to males, cisgendered, heterosexual males. The go-to appears to be sex. That as soon as you jump in a woman's DMs, you're talking about the dick, or you're talking about your dick, or you're talking about pussy, or you're talking about fucking her, or you making some innuendo, or you mentioning one of her shits that she mentioned, you know what I mean, about sex. And it was funny, I was just talking to a new friend of mine who we were just talking about how, like, people need to, I mean, that's going to be a whole different episode entirely about sex education and the revamping of sex education, but one of the things that needs to be in that revamping of sex education is teaching both sexes, but especially men who are trying to date women, how to have conversations that either don't involve sex or involve sex, but are just talking about the topic, not just, oh, the only way you can talk about sex is talking about fucking the person that you're talking to. Because there's definitely a way to have a conversation about sex and sexuality without it having to be lewd and inappropriate and uncomfortable and awkward. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be that way, but I digress. Maybe try having an actual conversation with this woman. Like, think about it. If most of the guys that are jumping into her DMs are just slanging dick pics without any conversation, that's going to be another thing I jump on in just a second here, but slanging dick pics in without no prior conversation, or jumping in, you know, coming into the DMs like a wrecking ball, immediately talking about sex, think about how much you as a person will stand out if you're actually talking about something of substance, or even not necessarily of substance, but something other than sex, other than your dick, that if you can just show this woman that you think beyond the furthest reaches of your dick or lack thereof, that puts you ahead of the mark automatically. So if not for any other reason, take it like that. That you will make yourself as a man stand out if you just think past your dick. Think past what your dick might be telling you to say or do. Just that simple move puts you leagues ahead in front of a lot of motherfuckers. Simple. The next thing I have dotted here. And, you know, everybody's not necessarily going to agree with this one. And it's not necessarily something that applies all the time, but this is just my personal opinion. In that same conversation, or starting to converse with a young lady brand new, try your best to let her bring the one that brings up the topic of sex. Try letting her do it. Because here's the thing. when you as a man bring it up too fast, that's crash and burn material right then and there. That some women, it ain't gonna make a difference one way or the other. However, from what I gather, from what I've seen women complain on the timeline about, complain in real life about, complain about before I ever knew Twitter was a thing, before Twitter was actually in existence, that when it was just conversations in person and over the phone, conversations I've had with friends and things, that let her be the one to bring it up. Follow me for the ones that are like, I don't know that. I don't know why you would follow that logic necessarily. Follow me. As I just said, on average, women get tired of the same old, same old. When I say the same old, it's men coming into their DMs or approaching them on the street or calling them on the phone, and all they can talk about is fucking or wanting to fuck or sex or what you gonna do for me. But that's another episode as well. But women are tired of that shit. So again, this I believe it would definitely make you stand out if you allow that woman to be the one to swerve it to that topic. And that not only do you allow her to be the one to take it to that topic, but being able to talk about it without being crass. Because here's the thing. If the woman brings it up, if she's the one that brings up that topic of sex, guess what? You responding to it, honestly, you can't be penalized for that shit. As far as conversations go, you can't be penalized for it. She can't get mad at you about the conversation being about sex if she's the one that has turned it into sex. It's okay. Most of the time, you know, guys, we don't give a shit if the conversation turns to sex. Most men are not going to give a shit about that. They're going to be like, cool, let's go there then, you know. But for women, that's not necessarily the move. That's not necessarily the vibe you want to just jump right into. So in my opinion, personally, if you, as a man, pace yourself, take your time, let her be the one to get that ball rolling, it'll save you a lot of grief. Because then, not only by the time that happens, y'all will have had some laughs and some conversations about other shit, but then she'll know you have some level of self-control. And y'all can talk freely about the sexual stuff because she actually wants to talk about it at that point. So it's a big win for everybody. But, you know, I'm not saying that necessarily has to always be the case, because there are going to be some instances where you and that person, you and that young lady may start talking about sex pretty quickly. And it's fine. Nobody's bothered by it. She's not bothered by it. She doesn't feel uncomfortable. She's not made to feel uncomfortable. And you don't feel uncomfortable. Everybody's happy. So you don't necessarily have to go that route with everybody. But to me, I think it's a safe way to go for somebody brand new that doesn't really know you that well. It's a safe route to go. Now, you know, if it happens to work out for you in some other range or in some other direction, cool, great, whatever. That's not to say it won't work. I'm saying it's, in my opinion, it is very unintelligent. It's very stupid to lead with your dick, because leading with your dick usually doesn't end well, especially with somebody brand new. Like, it just, in my opinion, more often than not, it will not end well for you, sir. So that's just my opinion. I can kind of skip this bullet point because I basically went over it, so I don't want to bore y'all again. Essentially, it just says, don't let sex be the only topic. Well, if you go by my recommended information and, you know, let her be the one to bring up the topic of sex, unless she jumped in your DMs on that shit, or it somehow got turned to that way earlier on than anticipated, if you wait for her to bring up the topic, on average, y'all will have had to have talked about some other shit before y'all even got to that sex talk. And so, again, if you are able to show your range of conversation extends outside sex, outside your dick, that's a plus for you, my dude. Like, that is going to be a plus for you. It cannot hurt you to have some substance to you. You know what I mean? That it can't hurt you in any way, shape, or form. my last bullet point for this, and I think after this one, I'm going to take a commercial break, regardless of how long I've already been recording. I'm probably going to take a little quickie break here. This one, actually, it's funny. Before I record most of my episodes, I try to type up something so that I don't get too far off track and I don't ramble too far away from some sort of set topic. I'd already written this out earlier today, and before I got home, I was listening to, you guessed it, my friend Tam's podcast. Hey, Tam. Hey, Nikki, we miss you. I don't know. We miss hearing your voice on the podcast. But anyways, hey, Tam. Hey, Nikki. I listened to my friend Tam's podcast, Drunk Love Confessions. Y'all should go take a listen. I didn't look at the title of her episode before I listened to it, before I downloaded it this morning. And then when I was leaving work, I finally looked at the title before I started driving. The title of this week's episode for her podcast is Your Penis Is Not a Personality. Yeah, you heard me. I'm going to repeat it one more time just in case you thought you heard me wrong. The episode title is something like Quarantine Tales or, you know, whatever. Your Penis Is Not a Personality, or A Penis Is Not a Personality, something in the realm of that. And I just sat in my car rolling, laughing hard as hell, because I'm like, really, really, motherfucker, this is what you're naming your podcast episode? And I already knew what it was going to be about. And yeah, it's about exactly whatever you think it's about. So go take a listen. It's a short episode, but I think you should listen to it, men and women. Women will relate. Men, you might learn something. Before I listened to her podcast episode, I'd already written this down. But her podcast episode reiterates this, that a penis, specifically your penis, gentlemen, should not be an avi, as in your profile picture on any social media, unless you are selling dick. Your avi does not need to be your dick, period. Like, there are maybe a handful of guys that can get away with their profile pic being a dick, their dick, or them with their dick visible. And literally the only ones that are coming to mind right now that have a million followers that I'm sure nobody has a problem with are people who are sex workers. And my best example, King Noir. I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm almost certain his avi, you could probably see his penis somewhere in there. I'm not 100% sure. I ain't looking that hard, but I'm pretty sure that nigga does. But that's because this is what he does. So who the fuck cares if that's his avi? But for you regular ass motherfuckers that are trying to talk to these normal young women out here, don't make your profile picture your dick. Like, what is wrong with you? Outside of you being a sex worker, which that means, okay, that's fine, do you. But if you're not a sex worker, why the fuck is your avi your dick? Why? Why, Black Jesus? Why, Korean Jesus? Why on God's green and blue earth is your avi your dick? Like, that makes no sense. There is no reason you can tell me for doing that that would make me be like, oh, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. No, it doesn't. Do better. A penis is not an avi, personality trait, thank you, Tam, nor something you present without consent. Like, I feel like by the time I retire someday and I'm an old man, I'm an old, disgusting old man, I'm going to be tired of saying the word consent. I'm still probably going to be saying it then. But till then, I guess I got to keep repeating this like it's the only word in my vocabulary. Consent, con-motherfucking-sent. Like, if a woman has not formally requested, if she has not filled out the 69-C form request to see dick, or the 69-B form let me see them that dick nigga form, if she has not formally requested, to see or be introduced to your penis, there is no reason for you to be sending it to her. Period, point blank. If she ain't asked for it, do not send it to her. At all. Don't assume, don't think, don't do nothing. If she has not said the words or texted the words or communicated the words to you indicating that, yes, she is approval, she is in approval of you sharing a visual of your penis, keep that shit to yourself. Because that's not helping you. Like, at the end of the day, even one, it's wrong. Wrong, you shouldn't be doing it in the first place. Two, in some places, it's becoming, in more and more places, it's becoming illegal. And three, it's, as Glamazon Tyomi calls it, ocular rape. You're just slanging your shit in there. She ain't asked to see that shit. She didn't request that shit. And you're just shoving it down her DMs. Like, oh, okay, you didn't ask for this, but here you go, bitch. And here you go. And it's just, it doesn't, what do you gain from that? I got to hit you with the snoop, like, out of pocket, way out of pocket. What do you gain from that? What do you gain from just chunking your dick randomly at women? Like, that don't gain you nothing. Majority of women, I venture to go out of my way and statistically guess, 9 out of every 10 women ain't gonna appreciate that shit. At all. Like, you're fortunate if you just get blocked or you just get cussed out. That's the least of your worries. Like, if you get just cussed out for doing that shit or you get blocked off top with no further conversation, be grateful if that's all that happens. Because these days, women are starting to get tired of the shit. Tired of the shit to the point that they will post your shit on the timeline for everybody to see. They'll post it in their little group chat. That your shit will start making rounds. And God forbid if your shit, if you wasn't blessed in that department and you just slaying your little dick, little wiener schnitzel into the goddamn DMs, and now your shit is all over the timeline because you just sent your shit and now she's embarrassing your ass on the timeline. You know, that could happen. You could get arrested. You could get marked as a sex offender, probably, I venture, at some point. That's what it's going to be. So, I mean, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. If she wants to see your dick, trust me, this, as bold as these women are out here these days, more and more, she will fucking tell you. If she wants to see that thing, she going to tell you, I want to see that thing. Or, what's up with that thing? How does it hang? Straight up, wait up, hold up. Let me chill. Anyways, she will let you know. She will put in the right request forms and submit that to you. Till then, keep your dick to yourself. Period. Okay, got that off my chest. Think that's all I got for the big horny. Gonna take me a little quick commercial break. On the next segment, we're gonna talk about, you know, I did mention at the beginning of this that I've changed jobs since the last time I recorded an episode. And, you know, I was right before I changed jobs at the beginning of May, I was a little introspective and kind of thinking about, I thought about how much I hate my job, but I also thought about the life lessons I've learned from working this job and how some of these life lessons that apply in general can also be applied to love, sex, and relationships. So we're going to get into that in just a moment. You are listening to Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs. And we're back. We're back. Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs. This week's episode, The Big Horny and Lessons Learned from a Raggedy-Ass Job. So, last segment, we talked about how people is big horny on the social medias, specifically Twitter, and how some of you niggas need etiquette on how to conduct yourselves online, or if you're going to jump into a woman's DMs, how you need to be conducting yourselves. So, we did that. I think I got that decently squared away. So, I want to talk about lessons learned from my raggedy-ass previous job. I won't say the name of the company that I previously worked for. I don't think it's necessary. If you are a personal friend of mine or a family member, you know the answer to that. Or if you don't, Ask me later. But I'll say it this much. I worked for retail pharmacy. For most of y'all, all y'all needed to hear was the word retail to understand where I'm coming from. My heart truly, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart truly goes out to anybody who has ever had to work or is currently working now or ever will in the future have to work retail anything, whether it's just retail in general, your Best Buys, your Targets, your Walmarts, your grocery stores, or retail pharmacies, all them joints, or retail any storefront like that, like anything like that, having to deal with customers. Hell, I'll even extend this to the people who work call centers and have to deal with customers on the phone all the time, or clients on the phone all the time. My heart goes out to y'all, but more specifically right here, right now, we're talking about people who have had to work retail anything. My heart goes out to y'all because I was at my previous job, I told you, at the end of April, 7 years. 7 years. Not at the same store, mind you. I did transfer stores as I've moved around Texas, but it's been for the same company. And let me tell you, retail work is raggedy. We ain't gonna go that deep into some of these reasons before we get into the meat of the episode, but one, the pay sucks. Like, retail, they ain't trying to pay you for the work amount of work they expect you to put in. Like, most of these companies want you to work yourself to death and accept whatever little pittance they chunk you with benefits that are usually pretty sucky, unless you're talking about your Googles, your Apple, or... that's it, like Google, Apple, one of these big, big super name companies. Unless you're working for one of those giant companies, and even some of them are raggedy, so I'm hearing. But I feel like unless you're working for one of those monstrous ass companies that is supposedly just, that we've all heard have some good benefits and stuff, really they expect you to take whatever pittance they give you and be okay with that when most of the time it's not even enough. It's barely enough to cover your bills, if it's enough to cover your bills. Because, I don't know about y'all, but my rent is high as fuck. I live in Austin, of all places in Texas, and so many motherfuckers are trying to move here every day, and I'm like, stay y'all asses wherever the fuck y'all are. Like, Austin full, Texas full. Go somewhere else. Like, do not come here, please. Because every time more of you motherfuckers move here, the rent goes up. And, like, I just remember moving into my apartment when I was looking for an apartment, and I was with an apartment locator, and we were driving around the city. As we were driving through downtown, she pointed out to me how, like, there was a loft on, there were some lofts on 6th Street that are, like, she gave me the square footage that they were and how much those lofts were per month. And I'm fortunate I wasn't drinking anything in her nice car, because I would have spit that shit smooth out and all over her dashboard. Because the rent amount she said for the amount of space she said for a loft? Oh, no. That's some old poser sounding shit, but that's all off topic. Anyways, back to what I'm supposed to be talking about. Lessons from a raggedy ass job. So working this same job as at retail pharmacy for the last 7 years, I've learned some things. I will, as much as I'm sitting here talking about how raggedy retail work is, I have learned some things about myself, and some of those things that I've learned about myself not only apply to how I feel I handle my life differently now in general, but how I look at my relationships with people. Romantic, sexual, friendship, otherwise. Like, let me make some sense of this. So the first thing that, God, I hate recording at home. The first thing that I learned, excuse me, y'all, is about valuing my time, energy, and efforts, as well as learning how to show myself that how I value those things. So if you've ever worked for pretty much anywhere, it probably doesn't even just apply to retail, but for sure retail. If you've ever worked a retail job, I guarantee you, you've had a situation where one of your coworkers decided not to come in, or some new hire who was supposed to come in on a day, decided they just weren't going to show up and you never saw them again. Or, long story short, you came in on time to your shift and, or you came on time to your shifts, and as you're coming on the shift, they're asking you to work longer hours than you're scheduled, or you're getting a phone call on your day off to work on a day that you are not scheduled to work, that you're supposed to be off minding your business, handling your life, doing what's important to you, and getting hissy fits and all kinds of passive aggressiveness if you decline. Like, I'm sure anybody who has ever worked retail can feel me on that shit. Like, I used to hate that shit. And back when I first started this, when I didn't know any better and I still had plenty of energy, I didn't mind burning a bunch of energy at work and all that good stuff. Because one, I had a bunch of energy to burn off. And two, when I initially started at this particular place, I was done with college. I graduated from undergrad, so I wasn't in school at the time. It was just work. So I had nothing but time on my hands. So I said, fuck it. If I have nothing but time on my hands, let me work on some Rihanna shit. Let's work and build this dough. Let's get this money, you know. But that was then. As time went on, as my life changed, as different things happened, as I've gotten older, I get tired, y'all. Like, I have my own health issues that I have to deal with. I'm just getting older. And I'm back in school. So all that combined means I don't have all this. I don't have that boundless energy that I started off the job with. I don't have all this boundless energy that I have a seemingly unlimited amount of. And I have all the time in the world to use it. And so work can be everything that I do or a majority of what I do, and it's no big deal. With me being in school and wanting to still desiring to have a social life and have time to care for myself, that plus school plus work, that's not a lot of hours, only 24 hours in a day. As time has gone on, I got to a point where definitely towards the latter half of my career in this particular company, I had to learn how to say no. I had to learn how to not feel guilty for saying no if that's what I genuinely meant. Because, like I said, you will always have some begging ass, no offense to y'all, some begging ass supervisor or manager begging and asking you to stay later or come in early or stay late or come in on your day off. And you all, that will never not be a thing. And, you know, they will, some managers and supervisors are worse than others. Some will really go on the super guilt trip and really try to make you feel bad about how things are going to be for them and how it's going to be in general if nobody comes in to save the day or whatever, that it's going to be a bad day and it would be a big help and all that good stuff. That's good. That's great. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I learned. Especially for these big corporations and all that other shit, life rolls on. For these billion-dollar companies, these companies that rake in millions and billions of dollars each year, I'm just an ant in the hill. I am just one tiny cog in a big ass machine. I can be replaced and nobody will miss me. That's just the long and short facts of it all. So with that being said, if I'm replaceable for this particular company, if I'm replaceable, if me being here or not, things are still going to proceed forward anyways, I should probably protect myself. I should probably protect my mental state. I should probably protect my body. That if I don't feel like working and I've worked the hours that I am scheduled to work, fuck off. I'm not saying you tell your bosses fuck off, because that probably won't go well, but tell them no. It's as simple as saying no. No, I can't come in early. No, I can't stay late. No, I can't work on this day off. Sorry, you're on your own. Or, sorry, I can't help you. And leaving the conversation at that. You don't have to say another motherfucking word. You don't have to respond. You don't have to say nothing. You just say, no, can't. Anything else I can do for you? Okay, bye. That's it. And so, how does that relate to relationships? Yeah, it definitely relates to it. Clear and simple. That you as a person have to value your time, your space, your energy, and your efforts. You have to, before you worry about anybody else on the outside valuing that shit, you have to value that shit for yourself. You have to value your time. You have to see your time as something valuable, that what you have to offer efforts-wise and care-wise and love-wise is valuable. Until you see it's valuable, other people are damn sure not going to see it as valuable. They will see it as cheap, and they will buy you for cheap, or they will try to buy you off for cheap. That they will try to get all the many benefits there are to being in your presence for a cheap price. If not free 99, that they will try to get it without doing any kind of work, putting in any kind of effort or work back to you, and expect you to deal with it. And if you're not paying attention to your own value, your own worth, your own energy levels, that person will become a leech. You will become a power station for them. That they will allow you to charge them up and refuel them. And then as soon as they've gotten everything they can get from you, they will have you basically tell you to fuck off until they need to use you again. And like I said, that could be applied to romantic relationships. That could be applied to sex. That could be applied to friendships, family, whatever. That you need to make sure you know your value and what you're worth and what the things that you offer, have to offer somebody, or offer a friendship, or offer a relationship, or offer sexually, is valuable. That if you don't make sure that you understand the value of it, nobody else is going to. They're going to try, like I said, they're going to try to get it for the cheap. So value yourself, set boundaries. Set boundaries with these motherfuckers. If somebody's coming at you trying to get everything they can get for themselves and not offering to bring anything back to replenish you, or asking you what can they do for you, cut that shit off. Set a boundary, tell them, no, I'm not going to do this, or I'm going to stop doing this for you because you don't appreciate it. If you're not getting the appreciation you deserve, if you're feeling like you're not getting that same energy back, let them know. Let them know, and let them know that's got to change, or you won't be around because you know that you're valuable. Plain and simple. So what else? What else? What other life lessons have I learned from working a raggedy ass job that I hated? How getting used to a job, that familiarity can get you stuck. So I truly believe one of the things that helped me in this job for so long, aside from just having a hard time finding a job that would pay me similarly, if not better, than this job. Aside from that, because that definitely was an obstacle. But another obstacle I definitely believe was present was that, you know, that familiarity. Because as much as I can sit up here and say that I hate this job that I did for 7 years, I hate it. I've gotten to the point that I hated it. The fact of the matter is, say what you want about me, I was good at my job. I was very good at my job. I could do half of my job with my eyes closed because it was just that muscle memory shit that I just knew. All right, this is going on. Okay, have you done this? Have you tried this? Have you done this? Somewhere in that line of have you done this? Have you tried this? Have you done this? Somewhere in there, one of those is going to pop up as, no, you haven't, you do it, problem solved. And it becomes so familiar to me that I knew that, at least job function-wise, my job was easy. I knew it wasn't easy. It was easy in the sense of I knew what the fuck I was doing, because, and I had become very good at my job. And I know one of the things that even being at my job and being as good as I am because I've been there doing it this long was watching new hires get trained and watching new hires try to struggle their way through learning on the job and learning how, like, they were trained. But of course, some of the best experience you're going to get as far as getting better at your job is you know, doing your job, making mistakes so that you know what not to do and then you don't repeat those mistakes. Voila, bing, bang, boom. Next thing you know, you're doing good. You know what I'm saying? You're doing good, you're doing better, and you're doing amazing. But it gets to a point in a job where you get that familiarity that even if you know in your heart of hearts that even if you know without thinking for half a second that you hate this job, there's always that feeling, that fear of starting over as a newbie, because I know how much as me personally, as somebody who knew what they were doing, how much I used to loathe having to watch new people struggle through. Maybe part of it for me was because I knew a lot of these people were not going to make it and they were going to end up quitting anyways or getting fired. So then all this extra effort that we're going through to try to train them and help them learn this shit is for nothing. But even bigger than that, it was that fear of, sometimes there's that fear of starting a new job. Even if it's something that you, even if it's similar to the job you're doing now, there are usually at least a few things you have to learn brand new. And, you know, sometimes there's that fear present of starting over, of no longer being the big dog on campus, that you're now having to go back to being that newbie, that you have to learn new processes and you're going to make mistakes where you're used to not making mistakes because you know you've gotten really good at your job. You're now having to learn how to become good at this new job. And sometimes that can hold people back, that some people will be like, hey, I know that I may hate this job, but at least I know this job. I am great at it. Nobody can tell me shit about, am I good at this job? I don't need anybody to tell me because I know I'm the shit. Going from that to going to, I'm a noob. I'm starting over again. I have to ask questions again. I have to make mistakes, and nobody wants to do that, especially if you've been doing something for years. You don't want to have to go through that process. So I sometimes think that also helped me at that job. Another fear that comes with that is a fear that you make that next move and for one reason or another, it doesn't work out and that you'll be stuck at another job even more unhappy than you already were. That was definitely another factor for me. The closer I got to my end date on this job, on this past job and starting this new job, that I was there every once in a while, it would creep into the back of my mind. What if I move to this job and I can't handle it and I'm trash at it and I don't get better? And for one reason or another, they end up having to fire me, or I'm even more, or if even if they don't fire me and I get at least decent enough to not get fired at from this job, that I'm more miserable at this job than I was at the job I have now that I'm secure, I feel secure at, and even if it's only secure in the sense that I know what I'm doing and nothing else. And that fear too can hold you in place when you're so worried that there won't be better out there, that leaving your comfortable spot, you won't find something better and your comfortable spot will be gone forever and you'll just have to deal with it and be even more miserable. That can be a scary thought, because who the fuck wants that? Who the fuck wants to leave safe, even if it's bullshit safe, safe and comfortable to go out into the unknown and then get out to the unknown and be fucked? Like, nobody wants that. Like, I ain't gonna say nobody wants that, but most people I can think of wouldn't want that kind of situation for their job, for the thing that they have to do to be able to pay bills. So, you know, that's another fear. And then, so talking about it in that way, talking about it in the sense of fear starting over brand new and unfamiliar, and in fear of the situation not working out, and being stuck somewhere, being stuck in a different placing, even more unhappy than you were at the job that you were already miserable at. That definitely applies to relationships. Hell the fuck yes. Because people do it all the time. For the handful of y'all that listen to this podcast, I know you can relate to that. Or even if you personally can't relate to that, that you have a friend either in the past or now who has been in a relationship with somebody and they are not staying because they actually love the person. They're staying out of stability, whether that's financial stability or they're staying because they at least know it's safe, that they know this person is going to give them at least some of the, maybe one or two things that they feel they say they need. They're getting at least those things, whereas if they, you know, that fear of starting over, that it, some people in relationships have that fear of, oh, I don't want to have to go through the whole talking process with somebody new in the future. I don't want to have to go through all that shit again. Because trust me, I see it on the timeline every day. A different person tweeting about, I hate the talking phase. I don't want to do the casual dating phase anymore. Like, I want to go straight from, let's get to know each other and shortly after we're dating. Like, nah, I mean, I'm definitely not one of those people. But it's like, I'm still here for getting to know people and shit. I still think that's important. But I know how much of a drag that phase can sometimes be, or on average tends to be, you know? Because even the people who say it's trash, they know when it's a good, when it's a somebody you're actually getting along with and you're connected with, talking phase is fun as fuck. But on average, it sucks. So, you know, that fear of having to go through, back through that shit again, sometimes for some people, that's just that in and of itself is enough to make them stay in the relationship, even if it's with somebody who is making them miserable or not adding anything to their life, that they would rather stay in that situation, even if it's a near about dead situation, even if it's a situation on life support, that they will stay in it unhappy and miserable just for the small, tiny, minute amount of benefits that they may be getting from it, or just the comfort of it. Like, you know, that some people think, oh, I'm, again, some people are in relationships with people and will be like, oh, I'm miserable, but what if I go out here and get in another relationship and I'm even more miserable than I am now? Like, I don't want that shit either. So maybe it'd just be safer if I just stay, shut the fuck up and deal with this situation. At least I at least somewhat know what I'm dealing with versus going out into the unknown, the light blue yonder and shit. I don't know what's out there and it may not be anything out there. So it's just easier to stay in my little comfort zone for me to settle. And the thing is, no the fuck it isn't. Do not fucking sit out here and settle for garbage just because you're afraid of the unknown. Like, life is one big unknown. If 20 motherfucking 20 has not taught you anything, is that we are not in control of much. That most of what we think we're in control in, we ain't. Because guess what? As soon as they said the city shut down, stay your ass in the inside because everything is closed, what did you motherfuckers do? You motherfuckers stayed home because you had no choice. Unless you're an essential worker, then completely ignore what the fuck I'm talking about. But for everybody else, y'all had to stay out, black ass, black, white, purple, yellow, whoever the hell is listening to this podcast at any point in time in life in the future. Y'all had to stay your asses at home. There was nowhere to go. Because everything got shut down and you couldn't do a damn thing about it. And my heart also goes out to those people who have lost their jobs in the process of all the things that have happened in 2020. Again, you don't have, we don't have as much control as we think we do, because some places simply say, you know what, we're going to furlough our workers, or you know what, we're going to lay off some of y'all, or hey, some of y'all can quit on your own and go on unemployment. Or you can wait for us to lay you off. Take your pick. Either or, you're not going to be here at some point in time in the near future. So figure out what you want to do and figure out your next steps, because we out of here. You know, we're learning. If you haven't learned anything else this year, it's that we don't have that much control over much. You control your feelings. You control your reaction to shit. That's about all you really have full control over, or should, could have full control over. Everything else can change at will. You know, anything else can change at will. So saying that you're afraid of the unknown when it comes to getting out of a relationship that isn't serving you, that isn't working, because you're just that afraid of what it's out there and that nothing, there may be nothing out here. I'm going to just say this and keep it simple before I move on to my last point. Being alone, single, and minding your own business will always be better than settling for less in a relationship you're not happy in. being single and by your goddamn self, and occasionally being lonely and whatever the case may be, is better than being in a relationship that you don't even enjoy, that you aren't getting the love, the desire, the respect, the honesty, and the care that you need and you deserve. If you're not getting what you need from a relationship, not just talking romantic or sexual, I'm talking friendships, family, whatever. If that relationship is no longer serving you, get rid of it. Get the fuck rid of it. Get on your, what's her name shit, Asian chick that's on Netflix, find your joy and shit. If it's not bringing you joy, get the fuck rid of it. If that relationship does not bring you joy, get rid of it. You know what I mean? Like, perfect example. I left, and this is relating back to work now. The first store I ever worked at in that particular job, I still have the phone numbers of my manager as well as my supervisor and one of my other coworkers. Because while we were at work, them motherfuckers brought me joy. They helped me get through the shifts. Like, they not only taught me how to be a good technician, but they also helped me get through my shifts because they were funny and they were nice and they were good people. And so to this day, to this motherfucking day, I have their numbers, and we don't get to see each other as much as we'd like to or talk to each other as much as we'd like to, but they are still, I still fuck with them heavy. So they brought me joy, so I kept them in my life. This last store that I left, literally only one person still has my phone number. The only other people that had my number and I couldn't block because I was still working at the store at the time, my two managers, I blocked them both. They are both blocked. They cannot access me at all because I have nothing else to say to them. The only person from that store that has my number is my supervisor, and she did ask me for the link to this podcast. So if she ever happens to get to this episode and hear it, hey, Ellen, what's going on? What's happening? She's the only one from that store that brought me joy. So she got to come along, and she's in the regular phone now. She's out of the group messaging app that I was in that we had to use for work. I deleted that shit. She's in the regular shit in Snapchat. That's it. I ain't really, you know what I mean? If it's not bringing you joy, if that relationship is not serving you, it's not uplifting you, it's not bringing you any kind of happiness anymore, even if it used to at some point in time, either talk it out with that person and try to make it better, or leave it the fuck alone. If there's nothing more that can be done, let it flatline and let it die. Let it die and let y'all go on about y'all lives and go on to something better. So, yes, very similar situations. It applies for work and it applies for relationships. Last but not least, the last bullet point I have here on lessons from a raggedy-ass job, how dangerous it can be to pour all of yourself into a job or have most of your valued resources used up by said job. As I said previously, if you've ever worked retail, you understand that a lot of times for not every supervisor you ever have, not every manager you ever have, but for the most part, most managers and most supervisors you're going to have are going to be worried about towing the company line. As in, whatever it takes to get them shifts filled is what they're concerned about. They don't give a fuck about you burning yourself out mentally and physically. They don't care about that shit. They don't care about if you having health issues and whatever. The only way they'll even semi-care about your health issues if it means that they'll have to find coverage for a shift. That is the farthest that it goes for some of these managers and supervisors for some of these companies. And it's sad, but it's the truth that they will give you the kind of the company's viewpoint on it, that really they only give a shit about it up to the point of, are you going to be able to come in and work your shift? No, then I need to find coverage quickly. And that's truly the extent that they care about. They don't care about, are you okay? Are you feeling okay? Do you need something? No. It's, can you cover your shift? Are you going to work your shift? Yes or no? Or in some managers' cases, yes or yes. And the thing is, some of these companies, some of these managers, some of these supervisors will expect you to pour every amount of you into this job, into this retail ass job. They expect you to pour all of your energy, all of your resources, all of your time and effort into that job. That if they say, "Can you come in early?" you should enthusiastically be like, "Hey, I can come in early. I sure can. How early do you need me to come in?" Or if they need you to stay late, "How late do you need me to stay? I can stay as late as you need me to." Or, "Oh, I'm off, but I can come in. Yeah, sure." And that's what they want. That's all they care about. That's what they would prefer. If for some of these people, for some of these companies, for some of these managers, for some of these supervisors, if they could have the optimal employee, it's the person that they can pretty much tell that they're good at the job, and you can tell them to do whatever you want. That you can tell them to come in whenever you want them to come in. They can stay as late as you want them to. They can come in as early as you want them to. You could work them all day, almost all day, almost every day, and there's never any problems, and you never burn them out, and you don't have to worry about that because they will never burn out. That's what they would prefer, and that's all they give a shit about. That if you're trying to tell them no, or if you start to complain, if you start to be like, "Oh, I'm tired, I can't do this, or I need to shorten my hours," or something like that, they're up your ass. They're immediately up your ass trying to tell you what you can and cannot handle. And the thing is, you cannot pour all of yourself into a job, any job, really. You cannot pour every last bit of your efforts, time, and resources into just your job. Why can't you do that? Because guess what? If you pour all you have just into your job, guess what that means? That means you have nothing left for any other facet of your life. That means you have nothing left for your self-care. You have nothing left for your family. You have nothing else left for your friends, your girlfriends, boyfriends, wives, husbands, sex partners, whatever. You have nothing left because you're pouring all your energy into work. And it's not healthy. That is truly not healthy, to be pouring all your energy, time, and efforts into your job, and no matter what your job is. You should never be pouring all of yourself into your job. I'm not saying don't give your best efforts and do your best job when you're at work. I'm saying do not pour 100% or even 80, 90, 100% of your personal resources into a job and leave nothing for yourself or for anybody else. Because it will come back to bite you in the ass. And the same thing applies to relationships. You know those people that they get into relationships and they literally pour, that's all they become. They literally become enmeshed to that person. That every time you talk to them from that point on, all they want to talk about is their boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, husband. That's all they want to talk about. I'm not even being like over exaggeratory. I'm talking about those people that you have met, friends or otherwise, or even old friends that ain't friends no more. Everybody has met that person before, whether you are friends with them or not, or you've been that person. If you've never met that person before, you've probably been that person, whether you want to admit it or not. That person that as soon as you get into a full-blown relationship with somebody, you're all about that person. You almost to the point that, like I said, you become enmeshed. That you're not even just hardcore about that person. You near about become that person because that's all your life is about. And that, my friends and peers, is not healthy either. You are not supposed to be that enmeshed with anybody that you lose yourself. That no matter how close of a bond you get with someone, you still have to save something for you. Because at the end of the day, if you save nothing for yourself and you're giving all your time and energy to this person and you're not giving any to yourself at all, you're not taking care of yourself because you're focused only on that person, so much can go wrong from that. One, in general, even if it's a good relationship, you're going to burn yourself out, period. Like, even if it's a job you love, you're going to burn yourself out like that if you're giving all your time, all your energy to it. You are going to burn yourself the fuck out, and it's not going to be pretty. You will be useless to everyone, including yourself. Same thing in a relationship. If you, even if it's good, if you're pouring all yourself into it and you leave nothing for yourself, then it's going to be bad when it's time to, like, I don't like talking about it, but it's like, what happens if, for whatever reason, whether on good terms or not, it doesn't work out between you and that person? If you've poured, if you've been spending the last however amount of time pouring all of yourself into this person, and this person is now gone, guess what? You're going to have to find yourself again. You're going to have to spend whatever amount of time it takes to find yourself, because you will be lost. You will be truly lost without that person, and you're going to struggle. Like, heartbreak and breakups and all that stuff is hard enough as is, but if you've been pouring all your time and energy into that person and ignoring yourself and the things you should be doing for yourself and the things you have to do for yourself, you're going to be in for a rude awakening when you're back on your own. If you end up back on your own, you're going to be in for a rude awakening, and it's going to be a very steep uphill battle for you to get back to balance, back to even Steven, you know what I mean? So, as you should not do it with a job or anything in this world for that matter, do not pour all of yourself into this thing. Keep something for yourself. Make sure to always, no matter what kind of situations life brings you, work, relationships, school, whatever, save some stuff for yourself. Save some time, energy, resources, that stuff for you to refuel, for you to replenish yourself, because at the end of the day, if you are no good, if you are burned out, you are no use to yourself and you are no use to anybody. You will have nothing to offer anybody, including yourself. You will just have to sit there burnt out, figuring out how to light that flame back up. And sometimes it's really hard to light that flame back. That sometimes you will literally spark your lighter over and over and over and over and over, and that motherfucker just won't light back up, and you're just going to sit there and get even more sad that you can't even get a flicker. And that's a tough place to be, and I don't want that for any of y'all, just like I would never want it for myself. So I think that's all I got for y'all. This is about an average episode. So, I mean, you know, hopefully you enjoyed it. I know I haven't, like I said, I haven't been around with school and all this other shit happening. I had to take a break from it because I just wasn't enthusiastic to record. And now I'm slowly, as I'm getting into the groove of this new job and I'm actually happier and I'm less tired, I kind of want to get back to it. So I'm going to try my best from this point on to try to get back to my, you know, one episode on Fridays, usually dropped off in the middle of the day, and try to get that back going at least until school starts back up. And then I may have to chill on it, or I may have to in advance record a bunch of episodes and just have that all set up for y'all so y'all can just have some stuff to enjoy. Maybe even with all this stuff going on, maybe I'll still be able to have some masked interviews with some people and have some guest hosts and all that good stuff. If you're listening to this and you're interested and you want to talk about stuff around love, sex, and relationships with your boy, go ahead and, you know, if you know how to reach me, whether it's social media or my personal line, hit me up, let me know. Let's get it set up. Let's make it happen. Hope you're doing well in these crazy times. I hope you're being safe out there. Back. Give people their 6 feet. If you're sick, give them 50 feet and stay the fuck isolated, please. Wash your hands, wash your ass, and sanitize, and be careful out there. Be safe. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you liked, rate highly everywhere. If write a good review on Apple Podcasts, leave 5 stars. You ain't got to pay a brother. You ain't got to do nothing else. Just rate me highly whenever they ask you, hey, what do you think of this podcast? 5 stars. Hit that 5 stars for me. That would really appreciate. I'd really appreciate it. It would help me out a lot. You know, like I say, I do this for fun, but you know, if you're enjoying it, let me know. Cause I mean, I'm gonna continue it either way. But it'd be nice to know that somebody's enjoying this other than me. But anywho, I think I'm good now. I think I'm gonna go get me something to eat. I recorded this just getting off work. Brother's hungry, you know what I mean? So let me go ahead and record this and put in my little thing to get edited for later. Take care of yourselves. Be safe. If you're going to be out there diving into some Rona vagina or penis, be safe. Be regular safe. Wrap that shit up. You know, don't need no Rona babies. We don't need no, we damn sure don't need no more, let's see, it's March, April, May. We don't need any more Sagittarius. We don't need any more Aquarius babies. We don't need none of that shit. No Scorpios, no, none of that shit. Keep all that shit, wrap that shit up, and be safe. Talk to y'all later. Peace.